The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Around the circle.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk.
It's another crossover podcast, Around the Circle. Talk of Champions is what I call it. I don't know what David calls it, but he writes for Inside the Rebels, an affiliate of 247 Sports. I'm Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben. He's at Rebels 247. I write for the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and affiliate of OleMiss3.com. Hey, buddy, what's up?
I call it the crossover podcast. That's what I call it.
Just you call it bare bones crossover podcast.
Crossover podcast, colon, whatever the hell we talked about today.
What are we going to talk about today?
Well, we've got a big baseball series this weekend.
Definitely.
Here in Oxford. And there is a lot on the line for the Ole Miss Rebels. And let's be honest, there's still a lot on the line for Mike Bianco. Not that he's not part of the Ole Miss Rebels, but he's got different kind of things, I think, still on the line.
Are they safely in right now going into Texas State? Okay.
No, if they get swept by A&M and go to Hoover and drop two, I don't think they're in.
Oh, yeah, no. Then they're out. I don't think they're going to get swept this weekend.
No.
They need to win one, two preferably, but one, and then win one or two in Hoover just to feel really good about where they stand.
Yeah, I'd love for them to win the series.
Yeah.
And win two in Hoover, and I think they're a two seed at that point.
Oh, that's a lock.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. And I think they're probably could, if Southern Miss plays well this weekend and hosts, I think they're in Hattiesburg.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, I think that'd be a pretty good deal for Ole Miss, considering how this season has worked out. And what is it, Pete Taylor Park down there?
Just don't send them out west or something crazy, which is typically what happens, I guess.
And it's possible. I mean, you know, you look at Spokane, Washington. I think that's a potential destination.
Oh,
all kind of crazy stuff. And, you know, but again, Ben, I mean, and you well know this. This is why this time of the year is so fun, so much fun. But
I'm just glad they've won seven games to make it fun, that we're having this conversation right now rather than the other conversation that it looked like we'd be having right now.
Yeah, and you know, we could steer back around to that conversation next week.
Oh,
certainly.
For sure. Yeah.
But you know, hey, Ole Miss is winning. Everybody's happy. Look, he's gotten the fans back on the hook again. They're interested in Ole Miss baseball. It's going to be a crazy crowd out there this weekend. Students are gone, but you know, so I think it's vitally important that the local Ole Miss fans, the fans that can drive in, and I know it's tough driving in on Thursday night, but you know, and it's tough to work all day Friday and get to Oxford in time for the game on Friday, but Saturday gotta be packed. People should be coming from all over. They need your support. They deserve it. The kids are playing hard, and you know, hey, let's go get it this weekend.
objectively in terms of importance for their particular season. Obviously, this week is bigger for Ole Miss baseball than an offer to a transfer linebacker for Ole Miss football. But I'm trying to figure out which story Ole Miss fans care about the most right now. And I'm not convinced it's not Diamante Tucker Dorsey, the linebacker out of James Madison.
Yeah, I think 100%. It's just, you know, you have, I think your football fan base is larger.
It's just different. It's just different. It's all year.
Yeah, it is. It's all years, 365, 24/7. And, you know, and that was a big move, Ole Miss jumping on him yesterday. You know, the problem is, you know, and everybody wants to know right now, hey, are we going to get this kid? I have no idea. Because you look at his other offers yesterday, Texas A&M offered him.
Auburn.
I mean, there were other SEC schools that that jumped on him immediately. And then, look, here's the other thing. It's no slam dunk right now that this kid is eligible for the fall. He didn't get in the portal until yesterday. That's past the May 1st deadline. But he is a post-grad student, and he has already applied for a waiver, and that is more than likely going to be granted to him. I think everybody believes he'll get the waiver. So, you know, I don't know.
They all think they will get the waiver first. That's always what they say. Oh, we think he's going to get the waiver. But once you get to the waiver process, that's kind of tricky now. There is no guarantee with that.
Well, the problem is there's no timeline for it.
Right.
You file the waiver and
– The NCAA decides, totally, yeah. When they want to do it.
Yeah, totally at their discretion – as to what they're going to do. I mean, that's
and there's absolutely no oversight to it, to where the NCAA can do what it did to Otis Reese and keep him out for, what, 7 games? No, it was all but like 2 games in his first Ole Miss season.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Nobody and talks about that anymore. That was a terrible thing, and yet they can just do it, and there are no consequences.
On the flip side of that, and I'm a fine one to be talking, but you know Eli's situation back in the fall where – he was declared ineligible in the middle of New Mexico State's football season because of a foul-up on the academic end that was the fault of New Mexico State. He dropped a class inadvertently in the middle of the season, which put him below the non-graduate hours he had to be taking to stay eligible. So they ruled him ineligible. And on a Tuesday – his career was done.
That's what I'm
saying.
And
by Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, he was reinstated. So, you know,
just think about that. That is his entire life. His life is football at New Mexico State.
Well, he was in New Mexico for football.
And for them, it's just rubber stamping or, oh, no, that doesn't meet the criteria. They don't care about the human beings involved. They do not care. So once you get to the waiver process, it's anybody's guess. So I just love that, though. Every time a kid that Ole Miss wants, any school really, but we cover Ole Miss. Any kid Ole Miss wants in the transfer portal, he's got to get a waiver. The first thing we always are told, because we have to ask them, and we get told is, oh, yeah, we think he's going to get it. But of course you do until you get into that process. Then you wonder why. The NCAA does not care about anyone or anything but protecting itself and trying to cling to the little bit of power it thinks it still has. And one of the little bit of power it still has is in the waiver process.
That's very, very true. Now, for the record – I think he gets the waiver.
I do too, but I'm just saying it's not a slam dunk, but it's just not a slam dunk.
Yeah, no, it's not. All these schools, so I don't think they would have been offering him yesterday that quickly if they didn't believe he'd get the waiver as well.
Flip side of that, David, could they be all offering him because that's a premium position? It's so hard to find good linebackers, period.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
So you just take your chance on the waiver process. You know, like whatever happens, happens, but dang, man. This is a premium position. They're so hard to find. Let me offer him, and then we'll just play the game with the waiver.
Yeah, you're right about that. We'll see what happens. And, you know, and then some people are going, oh, this is an FCS linebacker. Look, James Madison is making the move to big-time college football. So, you know, this kid is a he's a legitimate talent. He was an All-American last year. And, you know, I think he would answer a lot of the Rebels' linebacker concerns. You know, and it's not that we don't have kids that can play linebacker. Obviously, Ashanti Sistrunk can play linebacker and play it well. We just don't have enough of them. I mean, you know, you get one, you know, one play and your season could get doomed at that spot.
And you don't know exactly what you have with Troy Brown because he was hurt in the spring.
That's exactly right. And I mean, let's be honest, Troy Brown is not some big Hulkster that you can stick up in there. You know, this guy is going to kind of play on the outside more than anything else. So, you know, they need size and they need speed and Tucker Dorsey has both. And we'll see if he makes it to Oxford for a visit. That's obviously the telltale sign. That's one to get excited is if you're in the running. I'm going to tell you, though, I think this recruitment is going to happen very, very quickly. Obviously, everybody wants him on campus June 1. And what is it today, May 18th?
Oh, yeah, so, he's got like 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen quickly, and then he's going to be somewhere.
I don't like the criticism of, oh, he's from James Madison. Jalen Tolbert, who was a third-round pick of the Cowboys, was from South Alabama in one of the strongest wide receiver classes in a while for the NFL draft. Kids come from everywhere. But you get what I'm saying, though? Well, I was just, that's the first thing that popped in my head. It's just good players can come from anywhere. Just because he wasn't a good player when he signed with James Madison or wasn't a Division I player, he can develop into one over his career to where now he has an opportunity to take that step and extend his football career.
Well, 100%. I mean, Walter Payton, Jerry Rice. Uh-huh. I mean, the names can go on.
I mean, those are
on.
Obviously Hall of Famers in the high end of. We're not saying.
That, yeah, but I mean, they played FCS football.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that's just, I'm trying to think of the quarterback at Washington that played for the Redskins. Mark Rypien. Mark Rypien.
There's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah.
Ton of FCS guys. So
they can come from anywhere. Talent is talent. Follow the offers.
And this guy, you know, we'd love to have him here for sure. 100%. Overall, that's the bigger story. It is. I mean, you know.
What about Deion Smith? When do we expect to know something definitive? Because it's like that time now.
I mean, I keep hearing, you know, they're just waiting on some paperwork.
Yeah, me too. That's what I hear.
So, you know, that should happen soon. Again, I'll make a prediction. Deion Smith will be on the Ole Miss campus by June 5th.
I've been saying June 1. Like, I don't expect some big announcement. Deion Smith has qualified. It's official. We've been saying since November. This has been one of the worst-kept secrets in Ole Miss recruiting recently.
100%. Yeah,
he was coming to Ole Miss. It's just about getting academically eligible. So it's not like he's going to come out with a an announcement saying, "Hey, I've committed or I've got my grades. Ole Miss, here I come." He's just going to enroll. So if he's not here by like June 6th, then you can go, "Oh shit, where is he?"
Yeah, I would say that. But you know, when it happens, regardless, it's going to be the biggest story of the day.
Oh, for sure,
100%, and. But yeah, I think it's going to happen quickly. I mean, you know, well, it hasn't happened quickly, has it? But you know, I'm saying by June 5th, Deion's here, or he's not. One or the other.
Oh well, yeah, that's the options
that's
for
kinda,
you.
That's kind of how it is. Well, look, the Ole Miss softball team.
Well, hold on, before you do that, I got a question. Don't do that yet. Don't do the softball thing yet.
Okay, come on.
Hold on. So. Assuming Deion Smith, like we both think, ends up at Ole Miss by June 5th, who has the bigger impact at wide receiver, Jalen Robinson or Deion Smith?
Oh, man. You know, Jalen Robinson, I think, because he's got experience. He has shown he can pile up big numbers in this style of offense. He's older. I think Jalen Robinson, if you're asking between the two. That's not an indictment on Deion Smith.
No, but that's podcast fodder, David. It's fine.
Yeah, I hear you. But yeah, I'm putting my money on Jalen Robinson there.
Deion Smith, the talent.
Aren't you?
I would say, yes. But here's the thing. Deion Smith, as far as talent, if I'm banking on long-term viability as a next-level wide receiver, I might go Deion. But as far as what they've accomplished in college so far, Deion is really, really talented. But Jalen Robinson was the number one guy at UCF. Jeremy James told me straight up that John Rhys Plumlee called him and was like, that was one of our best guys at Central Florida. So I'm going to take him right now for immediate impact at Ole Miss for what they need. Because they need a go-to, done-it-before wide receiver. And Jalen Robinson, by all accounts, from the numbers and everything you dive into, he's done it before. So I'm going with him.
Yep.
But long term, you could convince me with Deion Smith is the better long term bet.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Will they add a third one? Well, Malik Heath's coming.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm already kind of counting him as we talked.
So do they
about
stop the after that? After Malik?
I think so. I think so. Even in this Wild West crazy era we're in, you only got a certain amount of spots, right? So,
well, a new rule recently passed. They're not going to be held to 25 scholarships in either of the next two signing classes. No school is.
Yeah, but there's still a cap.
On the roster, on the overall roster, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, anyway, you know, you could have 20 Deion Smiths on your roster. You can't play them all.
He's David Johnson. He writes for Inside the Rebels. I'm Ben Garrett. I write for the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, an affiliate of On3.com. If you haven't already, subscribe, rate, review this podcast in iTunes. Just simply search Talk of Champions. That's where it'll be. Let's hear from a couple of proud sponsors of Talk of Champions.
BNA Bank is celebrating 125 years of local banking. For generations, BNA Bank has been a stable fixture in Northeast Mississippi, supporting and investing in our local small businesses, local schools, local community events, local charities, and so much more. At BNA Bank, we believe in our local communities, businesses, and organizations because we are a local business, too. Thank you for choosing to bank local with BNA Bank.
It's springtime in Oxford again. Who doesn't love springtime in Oxford? Flowers blooming, the squares popping. Ole Miss baseball, a little Ole Miss spring football. It's honestly one of the best times of the year, so why not enjoy it? See all the beauty that Oxford has to offer in a brand new car, truck, or Jeep. Well, if you're in the market, the only place to go, Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford. From new and used sales to parts and service, Alan Samuels of Oxford aims to provide a truly stellar automotive experience. And what separates them from every other dealership in Oxford, Mississippi, as Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford aims to address each of your needs with the utmost respect, care, and attention to detail. Most everyone who's listened to this podcast should know by now, this is the only place to go. And when you go, ask for Brian or Mason, tell them Talk of Champions sent you, and take advantage of any one or more of the services Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford provides by contacting them at 662-234-8000. That's 662-234-8000, 2201 East University Avenue in Oxford, Mississippi. Alan Samuels, a proud sponsor of Talk of Champions. Here in Oxford, Mississippi, golf matters. For the Ole Miss Rebels, the casual looking to knock out a quick 18. Yes, we care about the fit when we hit the course, and PXG Apparel has something for everyone. Me? You Talk of Champions listeners know I'm a daily hat wearer, and especially at University Course or Oxford Country Club. PXG has mastered a snapback for any type of weather or occasion. My Navy goes with pretty much everything. Point is, PXG has you covered for any and all golf attire, making sure the fit is right in all the right places. Made with premium materials and technology designed for peak performance, these confidence-inspiring looks invite all-day play, taking you seamlessly from a round of golf to the office to a night on the square. Elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring-Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC at checkout to save 10% on all apparel.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Deion Smith will be the last wide receiver, then the linebacker from James Madison. Is that it?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, come on, man. We're almost in June. But
no, but we're still going here. We're going strong.
You never know. Look, if they have a spot left and the right guy hops in, they're going to go after him.
What's the right guy?
So, you know,
one spot opens up.
I don't know.
David Johnson, head coach of Ole Miss football. In your opinion, what's the right spot? If one spot opens up and the right guy hits the portal, it's what position?
Yeah, that's hard to say because, you know, would you take another linebacker or, you
lineman.
Know, let's just say, I mean, you could possibly take another lineman. I question a little bit what the depth looks like at the on the edges of the offensive line.
Mm.
You know, there's no doubt Jeremy James, Nick Broeker, both are NFL talents. Even though Broeker's playing guard.
Mason Brooks, they got him.
Yeah, they're both NFL talents. Broeker is too, by the way. I could see them wanting to go for some more edge depth, but the problem with the portal is I can tell you right now, there aren't any offensive tackles in the portal. They've all been snapped up, and when they go in, they don't stay in very long.
Mm-hmm. That's why Mason Brooks, you know, of all the guys they signed, even Zach Evans, Jackson Dart was number one as far as – or Michael Trick was the number ones as far as how many schools wanted them. Everybody wanted them. But next to them, Mason Brooks is probably right there. Everybody wanted him. And I don't think he gets enough credit for how much interest there was in him and how big of a get he was. It was a huge get.
Well, first of all, even if you're talking about high school recruiting, finding serviceable or guys
tackles.
Who will turn into serviceable offensive tackles – it is so difficult, extremely difficult. And then, you know, when you do find the ones that are serviceable and can get on the field and play for you, those aren't the guys that are getting in the portal for the most part. And so it is hard to find a guy unless you find a guy like Mason Brooks who has been playing at a mid-major and he gets in the portal because he's like, you know what? I want to play in front of 100,000 people.
It just goes back to this, Dave. You know what it goes back to? Mason Brooks was one of the very biggest gets out of the NCAA transfer portal. But the old offensive lineman in me, it just got some built-up, long-standing resentment. Yeah, we don't score touchdowns, man. We're the ones you're not supposed to notice us, so we don't get any attention. Mason Brooks put some respect on his recruitment because that was a massive land. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know – it's so funny you say that. I mean, you know, and you can probably attest to this, but for 2 years before Royce Newman's last year here, I was beating the drum that Royce Newman is going to be an incredible professional football player. Nobody listened. Nobody
cared. I did. Now, not nobody. I did.
Well, you.
Your friend Ben did.
I'm talking about fans in general and all of
But that's not no one. I'm not no one. Do not minimize me, sir.
You're not no one. All of a sudden, the Packers draft Royce Newman.
And he starts as a rookie.
Oh, yeah. He starts as a rookie. He's going to have an incredible career. And I've been saying the same thing. Listen, everybody's been talking about Nick Broeker, and I'm 100% on board. Nick is going to be a really good pro player on the interior. But for the last two, maybe even 3 years, I've even been preaching Jeremy James. Jeremy James is a potential first-round pick.
Why were you saying that?
Because he is so versatile. He can play every position on an offensive line. He is so long. He is so big, elite size, and he's such an athlete. And here's the deal. James may, and it all depends on how his – fall goes.
James, I've got a breaking news. Whoa! Breaking news!
No, I'm telling you, James.
Okay, hold on. Breaking news. David Johnson of Inside the Rebels reporting Jeremy James will be a first-round pick in the 2023 NFL draft. No, you said will be 100%. Put your name on it, and I did.
Well, Jeremy James could be a first-round pick. And I will say this, he'll go in the first three rounds.
Oh, for sure.
Hands down.
Yes.
NFL,
as long as he's healthy, yes.
NFL coaches, NFL organizations look for every attribute Jeremy James has.
For sure.
And he checks every box.
Every
single box.
I agree with that.
And he will be the first pick taken off this Ole Miss football team in the 23 NFL draft.
Ooh, that's a good one. Who else would be in contention for him? for that spot?
I mean, I think Zach Evans could be a high round pick, second, third round. They really don't draft running backs in the first round.
They don't. Nope.
It's because, you know, the morphing of what they want out of offensive football in the NFL.
Well, the
now.
Thing about running backs in the NFL is they don't make it to second contracts, and there's so much tread on the tires that's been worn down from college and the carries that they get in high school. They're typically the best player on their team, and they've logged so much time. Everybody believes, every team, every evaluator believes that each player has a certain amount of snaps in them. And running backs, they age quicker and fall off the cliff much faster than all other positions. So why are you investing that kind of draft capital when you can get comparable players for what they're going to be in their first contract, which is typically all they last for 4 years? You can find that in the second, third, fourth round. So these days, only usually you'll see maybe one running back go in the first round. And even then, when it happens, you have everybody that maybe draft analyst or us saying shit like, what are they doing? You can just get that later. I mean, the position has been completely devalued in the NFL.
Yeah, no kidding. It has. But you know, to answer your question, I mean, if I had to pick an order, Jeremy James, Zach Evans, probably.
Is Jared Ivey, Kari Coleman, maybe?
Yeah, both of those guys, I think. You know, I saw somebody had
Corey
had
was in the
Coleman
first.
The first round.
I think it was CBS. I saw that.
Projected. Yeah. No, it was Fox, I'm pretty sure. But anyway.
What about De'Andre Prince?
You know.
Maybe.
Maybe. You know, but I will say this. I think as long as Jeremy James stays healthy, he's going to be the first Ole Miss Rebel off the draft board. And you know, how ludicrous is this? I mean, I think all, you know, pre-draft orders are full of crap.
Of course they are, but it's entertainment. We are entertainment, David. We are entertainment.
Just for entertainment's sake, I'm taking Jeremy James first. I think he's got all the tools, more so than any other
rival. If I'd have asked you before last year, or if I'd have told you, David, I'm telling you right now, you better put your life savings on it. Sam Williams will be picked in the draft before Matt Corral. You'd say, no way in hell.
I would not have said that.
Really? Really?
I just would not have said that. No, not coming off Matt's first sophomore campaign, if you will. I wouldn't have said that. Because
all right, knowing what
Matt had.
Yeah, okay.
Matt had a little bit of an interception issue.
No, not a little bit. It wasn't a little bit, buddy. Yeah. It was an interception issue.
So, as far as being a true pro, more skills, more potential at his position, I would have went with Sam Williams first.
Yeah.
Now, I think because, you know, and we don't have to get into all this, but we all are obviously aware of the off-the-field issues Sam had. Jerry Jones could have given a crap about that, obviously. And we saw Sam make some tremendous strides in the maturity department, you know, in his final year at Ole Miss. I mean, you know, I'll say this much. After Pro Day, Sam Williams was in the interview room immediately with the media, with his son in his arms. And appreciated that from Sam.
Yeah, he's mature.
Because let me say this. Those guys do not have to talk to the media after Pro Day.
Yeah, they don't know what's anything. Nothing.
Sam came in. Snoop Connor came in. Jerrion Ealy came in.
Well, Jerrion came in because he was angry. He wanted to air some grievances that day.
Well, yeah, whatever. But Matt Corral did not come in, and we were told he was, and everybody waited for almost 3 hours after Pro Day ended. Before we were informed that he was not coming. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. When Kyle Campbell came in and said he's got to do some NFL Network stuff first. And this is no issues towards Matt at all. Just telling a story. After we had waited about 2 hours, Kyle came in and said he's got to do some NFL Network stuff. Then he's coming. Neil McCready and I looked at each other and said, we're gone.
Yeah,
we
left. No way that's happening. That's not happening.
And then the other guy stayed, and he never came.
Of course he didn't.
So
we've been done. It's fine, and it's fine. He doesn't owe us anything. But yes, though, it's just that yes,
Sam Williams was the first guy in the room.
Right.
Much appreciated.
All right, what's your softball thing?
Regional starts Friday night, 6:30 our time, Oxford time, against a Loyola Marymount team that, you know, check this out. So Ole Miss has to travel 1,880 miles to be the number two seed in the L.A. Regional, hosted by UCLA. Loyola Marymount has a 30-minute drive from their home campus across town to the field to play the Rebels as a three seed. And
grief. All right, let me ask you this. So, because you cover softball, I don't. Where should Ole Miss, in your opinion, have been sent?
Well, as a number two seed, but closer to home. You know,
where would that have been? Is there any
bracket? Yeah. I think they should have been at the Duke Regional. I think, and that's where Georgia was sent, which, I mean, come on, let's be honest. Athens to Raleigh-Durham is what, maybe 3-hour drive?
Does any two seed have to travel further than Ole Miss?
No.
Then that just tells me it's true. It's been that way for a long time in selection processes in baseball, and now I guess softball, they're kind of the same family. We've been talking about this. Back in the day, it was like Larry Templeton's keeping Ole Miss baseball from the – now, I'm just saying I get it. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying I get it. If you got a conspiracy theory about selection for Ole Miss baseball and softball and Ole Miss getting screwed, I'm not saying I agree with you, but I'm also saying I'm not dismissing the possibility because seeing it.
And there's something there. I'll tell you this. You know, even during the SEC tournament, and some of the fans watched the tournament, obviously, the commentators for the SEC network, I mean, it was obvious they were not pulling, and they shouldn't pull for anybody.
They're supposed to be neutral.
It was obvious they were pulling for the team Ole Miss was playing both nights.
I'm skeptical. How? What were they doing?
Oh, just you know, all of the comments were, you know, Georgia is a home run hitting team and blah, blah, blah. Well, Ole Miss beat Georgia 9-5. So in that particular game that, you know, Michelle Smith was paid to be the color commentator, it really mattered not that Georgia had hit their 100th home run of the season when Ole Miss scored 9 runs and Georgia scored 5, right?
And it sounds a little Jan from the Brady Bunch, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
No, it's not.
All right.
It's not. And look, okay, Georgia gets the easy bus ride up to Raleigh-Durham to play in their regional versus Duke. I don't know how far it is. Probably 3 hours, I'm guessing. All right? Ole Miss has to fly, left out at 4 o'clock Wednesday morning to fly to L.A.
Now there, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah, to get ready for this stuff. When Ole Miss beat Georgia 3 out of 4 times this year and 3 times in a row, they took a series from them, 2-1 in Athens to end the regular season, had them in the first game of the SEC tournament, beat them there, and Georgia gets the better seed. Mississippi State swept the Rebels this year, but finished with a lower RPI. They're at the Tallahassee Regional. Ole Miss has to fly across a continent to play at UCLA.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. All right, so handicap it. Ole Miss's chances of getting out of that regional and moving on is what?
Yeah, you know, I'm not as afraid of the number one seeded UCLA Bruins as I normally am. They're 43-8, whatever. That's not what I worry about. What I worry about is the 3 seed and the 4 seed there are both extremely good teams. I mean, so there are no gimme games. Ole Miss opens with Loyola Marymount. As I mentioned, all they have to do is drive across L.A. traffic, and they're at the regional.
Not to be confused with Loyola Chicago, Loyola New Orleans.
Yeah, there are 100 of those, right? But it's a Jesuit school, like they all are. But, you know, and they're going to face a pitcher who's won 17 games in the regular season, 9 all-conference players on this squad. I mean, this is a good team. Probably the best 3 seed in the country. And that's who they play. So if they beat them...
Sounds like very ominous.
LA on Saturday.
Sounds very ominous.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very tough draw for game one. Very tough draw. And if you get in that loser's bracket from the get-go, you're in trouble.
Real quickly.
We all know that.
Real quickly, project Ole Miss's Ole Miss baseball's NCAA tournament seeding.
Man, you know, Ben, it really depends on what happens, but...
I like the 2 at Southern Miss. I kind of like that.
That's where I think they're going to be.
I like that.
I really do. You know, somebody at the NCAA on the selection committee may go, you know, this is probably, you know, they're an SEC team.
Send them to Alaska.
They're the worst 2 seed in the field. Yeah, we're going to send them to Alaska Anchorage. to play in this regional where it's 28 degrees or something like that.
Hailstorms in the forecast.
Yeah, or more realistically, Spokane, Washington. And, you know, it's probably still a little chilly up there right now this time of the year.
All right, I got one more thing for you, and then we got to go. So yesterday was a big day in the Garrett household. This has nothing to do with sports. That's why I save it for the last. My daughter Riley is the youngest selected member of the travel gymnastics cheerleading squad in New Albany, Mississippi, the Hot Shots, fired up, excited. And then Gracie had her awards day at New Albany Elementary School, and she got all A honor roll, AP reader, and then in every class they give out a top dog as voted on by their peers, a girl and a guy. And Gracie really wanted the top dog award, okay? And I wanted her for I wanted it for her because she wanted. You know how you are with your kids. It doesn't matter what they choose. Yeah, whatever they are passionate about, you just want them. You want them to be passionate about something, and then encourage them as much as you can. I don't give a crap what it is. It could be sports, academics, gymnastics, hot shots. As long as they're passionate about it and they do their best, that's all I care about. And I get really excited for them when they set goals for themselves and they get it. So the dude's up there, the assistant principal, nice guy. And he says, hey, because it started out, people were clapping every time a name was called. Well, that's going to take a while, right? So he's like, nobody talk. Hold all your applause till after all the names have been announced. Then we'll cheer for them really loud. Okay. Gracie's class rolls around. She gets announced for all A honor roll. I don't say anything. And you know me. Okay. I can't help myself. My enthusiasm can sometimes boil over. Then the next time her name's called is for the AP thing. I don't say a word because they told us not to. But then she got top dog, and I knew she wanted to be top dog. And so in front of God and everybody, yelling into the silence as loud as possible, I was like, let's go, Gracie, woo! And everybody laughed.
That's awesome.
Now, everybody laughed except Gracie, who turned red as a tomato, and my wife, who was sitting right beside me, who teaches at New Albany Elementary School. So it was her boss who said, hey, don't clap. And she was so mad. Now, she says she was just embarrassed, but it was like one of those, I cannot believe you broke the rules kind of deal. All right. So, David, was I in the wrong?
No, man.
Let's go.
That's a moment you will carry with you your entire life.
Thank you.
I'm going to be a little dark here, but, you know, one of these days when you pass on.
Oh!
And she's standing there looking at you, and you're coughing.
No, I'm not getting buried. No, I'm claustrophobic. They got to burn me. It's in my will. I'm getting burned when she's staring at my Folgers can. When she's staring at my Folgers can and she's about to dump my ashes down the toilet, go.
That she's going to be thinking about that day her dad stood up in the back of the auditorium and screamed out when she won that award.
Let's go.
Even though the assistant principal had said, let's not do this.
Okay.
So that's a beautiful moment.
Thank you, David. Thank you. Because Emily's mom was sitting by her and she was embarrassed. Her sister was sitting beside her. She was embarrassed too. Now everybody else laughed because initially it was like, oh crap, I didn't mean to do that. But then they're like, oh, like Gracie's friends would come up to her and be like, Dad, your daddy is so funny. Or Emily's friends would come up to her and be like, Ben is such a mess, isn't he? And you know what? They'll never admit it, but they kind of like that. They kind of like it.
Listen, what are we all ultimately going to be? No matter what we accomplish in life, no matter what we do, what are we all ultimately going to be?
Husbands and fathers.
We're going to.
Memories.
We're all destined to become memories. Oh. And you know what? You just became a fantastic memory for your daughter.
Oh.
And that is. Do not. You hold your chest out proud.
Thank you, David. I will.
And that is incredible. I'll tell you a quick story.
Please do.
And then we'll go. So Tori's bus runs at 6:30 every morning.
Oof.
So our day begins quite early. So this morning I'm walking her out to the road to wait for her bus, and her bus driver's name is Omar. Okay. I had gotten that much from her, and she really likes Omar. So I'm standing there with her at the end of the drive, and I'm like, you know what? Last day of school is tomorrow. I'm going to meet Omar this morning. And I mean, she tells us all kind of funny stories about Omar. So the bus pulls up, and Omar opens the door, and Tori climbs on, and he sees me there. And I'm like, hi, I'm David, Tori's dad. I just wanted to meet you. And Omar, who's still wearing a COVID mask, looks at me and goes, me no speak English, sir. So I waved at him, smiled, and that was the end of our conversation. So I didn't get to have that big conversation because Omar no speak English. But
anyway, you know what? He's made an impact on your daughter.
He has. You know, man, she loves Omar.
A positive impact on your daughter. And that's the thing about these masks, man. If you want to wear one, cool. But at the end of the day, he made a positive impact, period. And that's an awesome thing.
Yeah, I just happened to notice he was still wearing his COVID mask.
I wonder what jokes or stories Tori Kate's talking about now.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later tonight. Yeah,
find that out, because now I want to know. I want to know what Omar does is funny.
Speaking English, Dad. So,
or maybe he just saw this hulking man early in the morning in his open door of his bus, looking at him like he wanted to fight him, and he's just like, what can I go to? Hey, no speak English.
I was smiling and everything. I had my friendly look on.
Yeah, but when you're not, when you're in a shitty mood, I've known you a long time now. Like, you wear it on your face.
Yeah, I guess I do.
So tired, David, in the morning. You might have thought for David in the morning, I was pretty approachable, had a nice smile. But maybe he saw what we sometimes see, your friends see.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling from about 100 yards away, Omar was like, oh, crap, man, this little girl's dad's out
that's
here.
That's what I'm saying.
Not me about something. And that wasn't it at all, but nevertheless. Hey, good show today.
Yeah, good show. Yeah, Ben, shut up. We've got to be done. This has been Around the Circle Crossover Podcast, Talk of Champions. I don't know. I'm Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben on Twitter. I write for the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, and philadelphiaon3.com. I love it just when you're ready for it to be over. All right, well, Ben, good show. He's David Johnson, at Rebels247. He covers Ole Miss for Inside the Rebels at Affiliate of 247 Sports. If you haven't already subscribed, rate, review this podcast in iTunes, just simply search Talk of Champions. You'll find it there in SoundCloud, Spotify. It's always there. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Let's go beat those Aggies. Hotty totty.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.